Let's go ahead and pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for just that we're able to be here, that we are able to be a part of something that is so profound in so many people's lives, and that you allow us to have any portion of participation in it. We just ask now that you just absolutely take control, as Kathy prayed earlier, that the words would be yours, the message would be yours, and just really touch our hearts and have them prepared to receive from you, each and every woman here. We thank you again, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So, welcome. You're going to hear that a lot, about how we're excited that you're here, and you heard it from Joni. You're going to hear it all weekend. And what I want to be able to point out to you is how absolutely genuine and sincere that is, because there are so many women who have been praying for you, the women who are going to be here tonight. The fact that you're here tonight, I promise you that it's not by mistake. I know that there's an appointment for you here. There's just too much prayer that goes into it, and I'm going to get to tell you about a little bit of that. So we really mean it when we express our excitement and enthusiasm for you being here. And like Joni said, we also know what it takes to get here with kids and dogs and husbands and driving down the beautiful construction zone of I-10. And we've done it a few times. But tonight, my role this evening is to provide you with a summary of what to expect over the weekend. This is an overview or maybe a preview, and also a peek into how we got here tonight. Like Joni said, we've been serving together. A lot of us have for the entire time that Calvary's been around. And we forget that there's new people who don't know the history and how we started the retreats and what goes on behind the scenes. And there's even people, I think, that have been here for a while and wonder, you know, who the different people are. So we decided to just pull the curtain back a little bit. And the reason for that I want to make really clear, as you hear this going throughout this weekend, I want to make it really clear that this isn't about robbing anybody's crown. We don't want to rob the thunder or, you know, what everyone is doing unto the Lord. We just want you to be able to experience what we experience, those of us, the 50-plus women that Joni was referring to, as we watch God put this together. It is miraculous year after year after year, and I think there's a lot that you guys don't know that might be kind of nice to know. And it's my hope, at least, that by giving you that little peek, it will help us prepare you to prepare your heart to receive from the Lord. We believe this can absolutely be a life-changing weekend for all of us. So like Joni did this earlier, but we want to do it again. Maybe mostly for me, but we want to take a deep breath in. We made it. We made it through all of the obstacles and all of the craziness to get here. Breathe the potential of what God has for you out. And no, we want to breathe that potential in. And breathe out all of the worries and the stress and everything that distracts us behind. So we are a truly uniquely blessed body of believers. We have a lot, and I think more than I've ever seen anywhere that I've ever been, a lot of truly gifted and talented people. And that applies to anything that's taking place at our church. We just have seen early on that it was established with a standard of excellence, and I think anyone who's been here can agree that that's what we've seen. And that's no different here with the retreat. A great deal of prayer goes into every aspect of these retreats, every single detail. And yes, thank you to Noreen and Emily once again, just blowing us away. They lead the decoration committee, and once again, it's just amazing what they do. But one of the things that I've wondered about is, and wanted you guys to know about, is that we're a big church. And if you didn't grow up with us, you might, you know, figure we're a big church. We have the funds to contact some third-party corporation, give them our specs. Here's what we're planning to do for this retreat. And then voila, they come and set it all up, and we're ready to go. That is not what happens here. We have women on multiple different, I call them committees just to organize my brain. It's not that official. But we have women that have served year after year on putting up the decor. And these women take it very seriously. Months and months before you guys arrive here, they are getting together, they're praying about what will help reinforce the themes of the retreat and the concepts that we're presenting. They pray for you. They begin praying for the women that God wants here for that particular theme, for that particular verse, for that particular teaching. And they're praying that obstacles would be taken down and the people that he wants here will be here. And they pray about what is going to go on the tables. They pray about the gifts that they're going to give out. And I'm hoping, again, not only a thank you to them, but for you to know what goes into it, to just realize how much God is doing in preparing this place for you. We also have a huge selection of beautifully gifted worship leaders. No doubt, absolutely. And this year, you got a little bit of a, got to meet Kiana Peterson. She's leading us, and they do the same thing. They begin ahead of time, putting together what kinds of songs they want. They practice and pray about what will they be, how they're going to lead us in worship. And that's their point. The point of them is not to entertain us. The point is to lead us into a place of humble, sincere, contemplative worship with God. And my encouragement is that that's what we take advantage of here. We have this time where we don't have the kids, we don't have the schedules, we don't have the husbands, or whatever it is that is distracting us to, we have to get back and make lunch after church. We're here. Take advantage of this opportunity to just say right now, the next time we're having the worship song, I am going to sing every song unto my God. I am going to enter into that place of worship. I'm going to follow their lead. Pay attention to the words. Sing them from our heart and our soul. Scripture tells us in Psalms 22:3 that he inhabits the praise of his people. Let's make room tonight for him to inhabit our praise this whole weekend. 2 Chronicles 5:13 and 14 says, as the singers and musicians praised the Lord, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. May the glory of the Lord fill this place this weekend. And then another one of my favorites is the story in Acts 16:25 and 26, where Paul and Silas are in prison. They're praying and singing, and then God responds with an earthquake. And he opens those prison doors. And I have personally been praying for you as well that prison doors will be opened this weekend. And instrumental in all of these efforts are our table leaders. And I don't even know how much you guys know about the history of that. But Gloria Martin, would you please stand up wherever you are? Gloria is amazing, the way that she organizes, starting with their commitments to be here for the weekend. She coordinates training, communicates the important points and topics of a particular, whatever we're doing that particular year. And she's the point person. She's been doing, I don't know how, it's been a few years now that she's been watching over it, but it has been such a blessing to work with Gloria and watch the way that she becomes... this gets the gals excited about being here and being that person at the table and dealing with the unexpected. As you can imagine, 300 women, we get a little bit of unexpected stuff going on, and Gloria's the gal. Now, if the table leaders would please stand up now. And remain standing. Stand up. These ladies are the front lines. Stay standing. These ladies are the front lines. Many of these gals are Bible study leaders. We have some pastors' wives. They all serve someplace in a myriad of different things in our church. There's so many places to serve. They are a great resource for you. So you take a look where you're sitting, and the person that's standing is here for you. They are here to answer questions, to address any issues, to just help you through this weekend to make sure that it's a nice experience for you. And once again, These are ladies that I promise you have been praying specifically for what 10 women were going to end up at their table. Again, I hope you're hearing this, how much prayer has gone into you being here this weekend. Now, most importantly, they're here to pray with you. So if there's anything going on and you just need someone to talk to or to pray with, you've seen who your table leader is. They also, take it easy on them, because they've also been tasked with helping us to maintain order. We've got 300 women in here, so don't be offended if they remind you to put down your phone or maybe not talking during one of the teachings. I don't count this as a teaching. We're doing an overview here, but just don't take offense to that. And I know you're going to hear it a lot from various different. Betty Jo will be up, and she really gives it to us about how to behave. and of course, I don't want to minimize the importance of a retreat is about fellowship. So feel free to sit down. Yeah, you guys, thank you for standing. it is about fellowship and making friends and getting to know each other. We're just asking that it not be during this time. And like with any area of our serving, any of the committees that I call them, we are blessed. We have more women willing to help than we have tables. And that is such an amazing thing. Willing and able and capable of really being there for people. And so if you've been a leader in the past and on anything, on any of these teams, things move really quickly, and you're not now, I just don't want anybody to take it personally, because I really believe it's God. I think we have so much willingness and capabilities here within our body that God spreads the love and allowing everybody to have the chance to be a part of this retreat team. And that applies to all of them. And you have heard, and you will continue to hear, how God morphs these events together, and he really does. I'm so grateful. Joni and I work together. I came from corporate America, where if you got to want to do anything, you have meetings upon meetings upon meetings upon meetings, and there's no way that the meetings would even accomplish this. Well, I am amazed at God. You probably have no idea how little we communicate. We really don't. We're focused on our giftings and our areas, and then we come and we get many of the same surprises you get. And again, I'm sharing with you again just to give you that evidence of God's faithfulness and how he shows up year after year after year of just bringing it all together with everyone focusing on what the gift that they've been given. And I was laughing with Joni just the other day. We were at Gloria's meeting, and I said, people would think we talked a lot more than we do, and that wouldn't happen anywhere but in the place where God is at work. And we would mess it up. And I also just want to say a great big thank you and take a peek at the teachers. We have years and years of our very own teachers that have been raised up from this body, and these are amazing, gifted women who love God and who love you. And they know how to rightly divide the word. Now, that terminology, rightly dividing the word, it's taken from 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Other versions say who correctly handles the word of truth. And the point there is we have an abundance of women who can do that correctly because of the leadership that we're under with Pastor Robert and his pastoral staff. They've trained us all these years that we've been going here. If you're new, you're going to learn, and if you've been with us, you know how we've been taught to keep things in context, to look at it as a whole, verse by verse, scripture by scripture, and we've been trained. And that's evident here when I see so many faces. I'm afraid if I had you guys stand, everyone might stand, of women who have taught. And that's because they've had that ability and that desire and that willingness. I see Melissa's beautiful face. And Lisa Stoker, where are you? Oh, there she is. Lisa was at the Bride of Christ retreat. That was the one that Joni was talking about. which I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that later, but that was 30 years ago. So, and then we have back in the corner there, I ran into Beth LaJoy. And she, I don't know if you guys remember the years when Beth would teach for us, we always had some sort of a theatrical treat to go along with it. One time she came in a trench coat. I think we were doing a CIA. You guys remember that? It's always fun. But it wouldn't be possible if we weren't in a church where we are regularly fed the Word of God and rightly dividing and learning how to rightly divide the truth. So again, just giving you some history of how we got here and just how the teachings from past retreats still resonate in my heart, and I'm sure they do in yours as well. But this is another area that we don't have to worry about making a lot of decisions because God does it for us. And it's exciting to see how somebody will be laid on multiple people, not even the same people every year, multiple people's hearts, and a conversation happens, and that's how it gets raised up. And it's so comforting to know that we're not making decisions, that we are truly being led by God because He knows what needs to be presented. And once again, I just want to make sure you're getting that this is just to give you an idea of what God is doing, and He is doing for you, each individual woman that is here. He's behind the scenes putting it all together. I hope that giving you that little peek helps you to share in the amazement that those of us that are behind the scenes get to see every year. And as we go through the weekend, we will be doing something a little bit different than we've done before. You've kind of seen a little bit of it right now with introductions and wrap-ups. And we haven't done that. Again, we've been together for so long. We just all know each other, but then we realize that so many people don't. And so that's why Joni introduced me. I'm going to, in a little bit, have an opportunity to introduce a couple of the gals, and you'll hear that throughout the weekend. And it's just, again, women connect. We connect with stories. We connect with knowing each other, and I believe it's biblical. Fellowship is a good part of, we know, you can't even have an interest in the Christian faith without knowing that fellowship is one of the big pillars. And I chose Ecclesiastes 4, 9, and 10. For that fellowship aspect of two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. And I pray that you guys have that one to help you up, be it a daughter, a sister, a friend. And if you don't, that you find that tonight because that is a biblical expectation for us. There's also sharing each other's burdens from Galatians 6:2, praying for one another, confessing our sins to one another, rejoicing with those who rejoice, and mourning with those who mourn. And the concept in 1 Corinthians 1:3 through 4, which is how God uses what I've been through to help you, and He uses what you've been through to help me. And those are the biblical backing for why I wanted you guys to have that peek, because you can't rejoice with us if you don't know us, and we're not able to really enter that place of fellowship until we have that relationship. So I get to introduce Joni and Terry. So Joni was talking about the Bride of Christ retreat that was 30 years ago, and she told you about, I didn't know her from much of anybody, and went up to pray at the end, which we'll be offering that this weekend as well. On Saturday night, you'll have an opportunity to pray with someone. I chose Joni, and then that she said that to me. What she doesn't know in that story is that I was attending Bible study at that time, but I was the girl who I snuck in the back. I sat in the back. We do the same overview like we do now. And then I'd go to my Bible study. I was completely quiet unless somebody asked me a very specific question, and I answered that question and only that question. And then when it was over, I left. And I would see Joni up front talking with the leaders in, if you guys know her, you're going to understand this. And I was drawn to her because she just said things that I knew everybody was thinking, but nobody else was brave enough to say. And I needed that in that point in my life because I was returning to the Lord from being away, and I was carrying around a big old baggage of shame. And I didn't want anybody to be able to take too close of a look, but she gave me that hope that it was obvious. She loved Jesus. She loved these women, but she was the first one to say she was far from perfect. And sometimes I think my encouragement there for all of us is to learn from that, because as Christians, we can get a little too nice with each other. I don't know what it is, and lose that realness. But that realness has power, and I believe it is a gift, because it takes boldness to be able to just be who you are. But it made a difference in my life. And we would do the number thing, whatever number, that's the leader you go to. I'd been watching Joni over the weeks of Bible study, and I always wanted to get the number to go to Joni's, because whoever, I didn't know her name. I knew she was Joan or Jane or something. But I wanted to be in her group, and I never got her. And then I got the boldness, and it took a lot for me to go to a retreat where I'm going to be in a room with two people that I don't know. I was mortified. That's how I know it was 30 years ago, because my daughter was about 18, my youngest was about 18 months old, and she's here tonight, and she's 30. She has her own baby and a husband, so yeah, we're looking at about 30 years, 30 years ago that happened. And I was mortified to go. And multiple things tried to stop me, but I ended up going. And my sister knew how scared I was, so she bought me jammies, because I was going to be staying with people that I'd never met. But Joni's, that's one of what I call superpowers, are those gifts that God gives us. You watch people in awe. And what I've also seen happen is people who have particular giftings from God, maybe you can relate to this, they don't always know that. They think everybody has it, that everyone's that way. But we stand back and we just watch God work. One of Joni's superpowers is that she's just real and doesn't realize that not everyone is. And the other superpower that Joni has is the ability to identify skill sets and talents in people and know. If you guys have worked with her, I see heads nodding. She knows, and it's so amazing to watch, because we might be planning something and I'll suggest an idea with the placement of somebody who has what I think would be good. And then Joni will, no, let's do this. And how it works out is just always so amazing, which is why I think she's a director, because she directs. That's what a director does. And she's the director of our Abiding Women's Ministry. And she's also works way more than anyone human should the executive director for Hands of Hope. So now you know a little bit more about Joni, but the best thing about Joni that I want to share with you is kind of a fun fact. Joni was the very first person baptized at Calvary Chapel. Did you guys know that? It was before we even had a building. She was the first baptism. So I get to also introduce you to Terry, and I'm introducing them because they'll be coming up and down doing their own introductions, and there won't be anybody to introduce them, so I'm letting you guys know you'll be seeing a lot of them this weekend. I'm introducing Terry LaFrance. She's going to be providing us with a summarized wrap-up of each teaching, and she is absolutely operating in her superpower there. She can think on her feet like no one I've ever met. She'll be analyzing what's been presented, emphasize some important points. She's going to clarify anything that needs a little bit more. And many of you know, but if you don't, again, Terry's education and background is in journalism. Early on in her career, she was a reporter for Channel 9, and not just any reporter. She took on some tough stuff. She was a bold reporter working at Channel 9. And now she is the media specialist at Calvary. And she's been working in that role as the media specialist since 2005. And I just want to have a side note that I think it's notable. This is me singing her praise. Again, I don't want to steal your crown there, Terry. But I think it's notable that she was willing to leave a successful career by the world standard to serve God and us with her education and her gifts. She's been at Calvary Chapel since 1990. And, we've been talking about this first retreat that I went to, the Bride of Christ. Her older sister, Delphina, taught at the Bride of Christ, and so did Lisa Stocco. And I remember Lisa teaching there, and why I brought it up is because it was such a powerful teaching. And I have pulled from that teaching of Lisa Stocco's as recently as this year. It's been stayed with me. And it is my desire that that's what happens. And I believe it should happen because it's not us picking the teachers. When it's God picking the teachers, there's something for you here. And to slow down long enough to not miss it. So, but we were, you know, Delphina, Joni, the rest of us, we were at that summer at the hotel, the Bride of Christ retreat. Terry, I'm not sure. She's a lot younger than us. She might have been at Vacation Bible School, you think? Maybe. You were at that. You're too young to be at that retreat. Oh, my goodness. So she just looks young. But she's another example of just being able to see God's gifting at work. And her superpower to think on her feet, to combine her knowledge. She's very knowledgeable in the Word of God, spends a lot of time to make sure she's rightly dividing God's Word. She's also fun. She has a fun and bright personality to deliver His truth. And I always look forward to Terry being up here because I know it will be funny. And that's just fun. It's fun to be funny. But most of all, it will be right. Terry can rightly divide the Word of God. So put your phones away. Focus on what God has for you here. Take notes. Get ready to take notes because those gems will come up and you want to have that pen ready to go. Betty Joan and Joni and Terry are going to be reminding us over and over again about the being considerate to other people, not, you know, keeping the movement down to a minimum and not letting your phone ring, not talking during teachings, and just the same stuff that we hear at church. But I'm saying it right now for a little bit different reason. And my encouragement, again, is just so that you don't miss out. You don't miss out on God's upward call. So another little peek into the background is the verses. We always have a verse or a book that we study at the retreat. This year's verse is Philippians 3, 12 through 14. You're going to hear a lot about this verse this weekend. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal of the upward call in God. I press for the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We're going to hear about it in its context, and we're going to hear about the intent of Paul. Tracy's going to be sharing that with us in incredible detail in her research. And I don't know, I think she's rewritten her. I think we're on, 10th rewrite, something like that. But what's fun about Tracy, and you're going to hear her official introduction, is when she's preparing for a teaching, she goes all in, and it's hard to have a conversation with her during this time of the year. But what you may or may not know about her is she's also an amazing Mary Kay director. I don't know her level, but I know she's up there, and she's very successful at, she knows everything she needs to know about keeping skin beautiful and what cosmetics to use. And I had some facial peel that was approaching an expiration date. So I give her, let me just check with Tracy on this. And I ask her if I can use facial peel that's been expired. And I see all the bubbles. And she says, "You're probably okay. Did you know that Paul lived here, blah, 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 for this many years? And that he did this, and he was over here?" And I'm reading. And I reply, "No." "Can I use the facial peel?" And she's like, the bubbles, and there's, the bubbles are really taking her time. And she replies, "I think you're okay. But did you hear what I was saying? That he's really been," it goes into this whole thing. She even sends me a picture. I should have put it up here. The picture of the book she's studying. And I'm thinking, I'll put the facial peel down for now and maybe talk to her after the retreat. But just to give you a little insight to how crazy these girls get when they're preparing their lessons to share with you. So that got sidetracked me. I got sidetracked a little bit there. That she's going to, go over the intent and the background, and so are some of the other gals. But what I wanted to focus on tonight before we exit our verse is that Paul is talking about forgetting things that are interrupting our growth and relationship with God. But the Bible has plenty of things that it tells us to remember. So the things that we want to get out of the way before we dive into what we're going to forget are things to not forget. And a couple of the verses from Psalms 143:5, I remember the days of old, I meditate on all your works, I consider the works of your hands. And Isaiah 46:9, remember what happened long ago, for I am God and there is no other, I am God and there is none like me. And Psalm 77:11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. So we want to always remember what he's done for us, whether it be in the history of time or what he's done in our life, in our families. And we don't want to forget that time where we met the Lord. That's something that we want to keep fresh in our minds. And I think what happens, again, one of the things that happens with us as Christians or with any relationship, time will kind of minimize that excitement of the newness of having that relationship with him. And the other thing is we, as Christians, we're supposed to share our testimony, and we do. We share our testimony over and over and over, and after so many years, sometimes it can just become an organized collection of words that's designed to summarize our story. And it has to be, because we can't, you know, we have to have it summarized for telling it. But we don't want it to lose the impact of what happened when we met the Lord. So right now, for a moment, I wanted to see if you guys would just take a moment. And if you need to, close your eyes. Take a moment, take a breath, and remember when you met Jesus. Think about how old you were. And think about how you felt when you knew that your life would never be the same. Take just a moment and consider how you've changed from that day to today. Some of us have been walking with the Lord for 50, 60 years. Some of you may be brand new believers, and perhaps some of you haven't made that decision yet. Well, you're going to have opportunities this weekend. But there's things we don't want to forget. Besides what God has done for us and when we found him, we also want to remember and cherish and honor our loved ones who have died, who've gone on to be with the Lord. And recognize that there will always be a level of sadness, but not letting the enemy come in and try to use any sadness that we have to trick us into thinking that we haven't pressed on or that we're lacking the spiritual strength to do so. That is not what Paul is talking about here. Paul's referring to those things which hold us back from God. And there's some questions that I think we can ask ourselves. We know what it is. We don't think any of us are going to be that unaware that we're surprised by what we reveal. There might be some things that come to light, but we kind of know what those struggles are. We need to ask ourselves, is this thing or person drawing me closer to Jesus, or does this thing or person get in the way? That's pretty easy. Is this drawing me closer to the Lord? If it's not, put it on a ship. Another good question is, am I clinging desperately to the past, or even with anger or bitterness, but that sense of just clinging desperately, or am I thankful for how God has used my past to prepare me for today? This is the last question, just to ponder, is, am I continuing to invest in something God has already ended? Those are just some honest questions between you and the Lord that we can ask. And there we have our verse. Now the theme, we usually have some sort of a theme every retreat. This year is Burn the Ships, an unwavering commitment to the upward call of God. So historically, Burn the Ships is something that was done before heading into battle. The most commonly told story of burning the ships is from 1519, when Hernan Cortez employed this strategy during the Spanish conquest of the Aztec Empire. Okay, side note. Just want to make sure if you look this up yourself, there are some historians who say that they didn't actually burn the ships, they just, you know, shot holes in them and sunk them. But there are as many that say they actually burned them. Clearly, we're going with that. And in this particular instance, there were 11 ships. He led around 600 men into the battle for Mexico. Upon arriving to the shores of Mexico, which is present-day Veracruz, they unloaded their horses, they unloaded their weapons, their food, their supplies. They established a settlement that were just securing their foothold to head into battle. And then they found themselves really outnumbered and in unfamiliar terrain with unfamiliar dangers, and it didn't look good. Things were not looking well at all. And Cortez could see that his men were afraid. He saw their shrinking courage and their discussions and murmurs about retreat. And Cortez knew that the reality was they probably wouldn't survive retreat either. He needed to do something to give them and raise a resolve in the battle. So a resolve in the battle. So what he did is he ordered his most trusted officers to go back and burn the ships. And when the ships were on fire, the men had no option. It was fight or die. The option to return to the safety and comfort zone of those ships, it wasn't available anymore. I hope this sounds familiar. We are in a battle as well, a battle for souls. Our battle is for our own soul, for our children's, our grandchildren's, our friends, our family. There are people we are in this battle for. And we get distracted, from so many things. And I know nobody would argue with me on that one. Corrie ten Boom said, "If the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy." And it's been said of that quote that both sin and busyness have the same effect. They cut off your connection to God, to others, and even to your own soul. We get distracted by so much onslaught of Facebook and online shopping and Instagram and Instacart and Insta-everything, and just lose. It's fascinating how quickly you can just lose hours of mindless scrolling. And I suspect that there's probably a lot of us who need to put our phones, and for me, maybe the TV, on a ship and blow that baby up. The majority of these 600 men would not have known what's going on. So consider their position and what they're seeing. You're getting ready to head back to the safety of the ships. Like, yeah, this isn't going to work. And they're on fire. I just wonder if they wondered, did the enemy do it? Or what is going on? At the very least, what is happening? The reality would eventually take over their minds, and did, that they had to fight with an unwavering commitment or die. That was the only two options. And as I thought about it, it occurred to me that seeing the ships on fire would change their prayers. And that's what can happen to us tonight. It can change our prayers. They could no longer pray for God's help to getting back to the boats. And they couldn't pray for another alternative. The only thing left to pray for was fervent cries to God to lead them into battle and lead them to victory. And we need that kind of fire lit within us. Fervent prayers, crying out to God for what and to help us in our battle and for us not to miss what he has ahead for us. But with us, the difference is it's a choice. And we're committing to a battle where the victory, we know the victory is already ours with our full commitment to him. Well, you may have guessed that the Cortez's strategy was a huge success. Against all odds, they won the battle. The battle tactic was also used by Alexander the Great in a battle against Persia. And again, it worked, and they won. And in ancient China, by a guy whose name I wasn't even going to try to figure out how to pronounce, and they won that kingdom as well. Historically, these drastic measures of burning the ship worked, and it has become a metaphor for commitment. So another question for us all to ponder. What ships do you need to burn this weekend? What is in your life that needs to go? Or who? Is there someone that needs to go? You saw the video earlier. It's a song. We have a theme song. We don't always have a theme song at the retreats, but this year we do. And it is by For King and Country. And it's a song that the guy wrote when his family was going through a really difficult time. And you have the words in your folder, so you can read them sometime this weekend. And as I opened up, I told you how I have, the more I listen to it, the more I hear. And going back to the prayers that have been prayed for you, I have prayed through some of those lyrics and believe that there will be some of you here tonight who will leave this weekend able to dance upon the heartache, that you will learn to dance again. And there's some of you that will be able to walk through the sorrow. And sometimes you need to take someone's hand and walk through that sorrow with you. And I'm confident that there are people here who need to cut those ties. It's time. Cut the ties and say goodbye. And for me, personally, I've been excited ever since we were planning this to be able to say so long to shame. So long to shame. All these prayers for us not to look back to, we need to just stop driving our cars backwards through the rearview mirror and start looking through the windshield. Now, I did a little disclaimer, another little disclaimer here. He does say flush the pills, but just to clarify, that's addiction, was a part of their family's story. So we don't want any misunderstanding as you see that. That's to flush addiction, not necessary pills. So we can put that into, there are some things we don't forget, like our medication. So our theme is the unwavering commitment to the upward call of God. And it's time. It's way past time for some of us. Time to stop with excuses of life being so busy. It's time to trust him completely. He has us. Time to stop being wishy-washy with Jesus. No more justification. Those excuses and justifications that are probably coming into your mind now are really lies from the depths of hell, from him who is prowling around to devour. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us that the adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, and he wants to devour you. The enemy makes the most out of exploiting our grief and our heartache, our shame, anything he can use to exploit us. But we're given instructions in Ephesians 6:16 about putting on the armor of God. And in this verse, specifically about putting on the shield of faith to extinguish the fiery darts of the evil one. And I know fiery darts can be scary, but we need to remember 1 John 4:4 that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We've already won. All he's doing with all these fiery darts, he's trying to distract us, but if we resist him, he will flee and we will be free. We need to say this weekend, if the Bible says it, I'll do it. If it's not in the Bible, I reject it. Get serious. Get committed. Jesus says in John 14:15 that if we love him, we will do what he says. That's real. That's what Jesus says. Commit to that today. If you hear yourself say that you love Jesus, then love him with all of your actions. We need to do what he says. No excuses, no special arrangements, just do it. If something doesn't make sense, study it. For heaven's sakes, we have so many tools at our disposal. We can use those phones for good in studying something that we don't understand. And if you don't agree with the Bible, that's okay. You don't have to agree with it, just do it anyway. Trust, we just need to trust that he knows. He knows what he's doing, and when we love him and know him that well, like anyone that we trust, we know he knows. It may not make sense, but he knows. Don't overcomplicate things. If you love Jesus, do what he says. If you say you have placed your trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then trust him. Just be done with the excuses. I think trust is a huge part of what needs to take place if we want to get through the practicalities of learning how to burn the ships. We're going to burn traditions. Tracy's going to talk to us about that. And this is going to help us look at how our society traditionally defines success versus God's definition of success. If you hear yourself saying things like, we've always done it that way, we're going to take a look at those attitudes of tradition. This might also be a scriptural examination of some of our family upbringings. You know, just because we've grown up with it, if it's not right, maybe we need to adjust it. Or religious practices that do not align with God. So we're going to burn the traditions, and we're going to burn the shame. Tony, and really most of the gals will be talking at some point about shame. Shame comes in so many forms, and it spills over into so many lives. Embarrassment, maybe about our sin or just where we come from. Our childhood memories can be riddled with trauma, rejection, abandonment. That gets turned into fiery darts, that believing it's our fault that we're to blame. Or shame can cripple us when we're trying to deal with those past sins, especially those that we have repented of and we're actually forgiven for. Those sometimes scary, fiery darts come in. I'm very familiar with them. And this is what they sound like. What are you doing speaking at a retreat? If they knew everything you have done wrong, you know, you didn't even deserve your beloved Jesus the first time. And you've been so, you know, blah, blah, blah. You guys have heard the voice, right? And all shame is self-focus, not Christ-focused. Shame is happening when we look at what we have done instead of looking at what Jesus has done. And that's where he wants us focused. That's why those fiery darts come in. So we're going to burn the shame this weekend. And we're going to burn the heartache. Jess is going to share with us a great example from Bible about moving past heartache and difficulties to an unwavering commitment to God's call. I venture to guess that this room has plenty of experience with difficulty and heartache. Whether it's death of a loved one, divorce, or those childhood traumas, the ache of living with regret, perhaps an abortion. Heartache can be debilitating and is often used by Satan to freeze us. If he can't snatch us back to himself, he'll do all he can to take us out. So we're going to burn the heartache. Now, we know that God is a gentleman. He doesn't force us to do anything. It's our free will. It's our choice. And if we choose not to commit, then, well, Naomi's going to walk us through that. What a biblical example of what can happen if we go ahead and choose not to fully commit, if we decide to hold on to our past. And then on Sunday morning, Susan is going to give us some very practical steps for lighting that match. It's all great in an analogy and a metaphor, but how do we actually do it? Susan's going to take us through that. And it's going to be things like spending time with believers, fellowship, trust. It takes trust to forget what's behind and to press on. It takes trust to let go. It requires trusting him to live in the present situation, believing that if he wanted things to be different, they would be different. It also requires trust for us to examine ourselves, to see if we're so buried in the past that we've interrupted his plans. His plans are always best. We're not even capable of imagining things better than what he has for us. Trust requires commitment. Commitment requires trust. It takes trust to let go of a stronghold. And those are the addictions. Talked about a little bit earlier. If we're using addictions to bring us comfort instead of going to God for comfort. Or if we need to leave a financial security that's rooted in sin. Or what about a job or relationship? Anything that's interrupting and showing up in our lives, coming between us and God. It's the time to fight against the stronghold by burning whatever is keeping that stronghold alive. So we look at the fire and we can't go back. Forgiveness is another thing that will be woven through the entire weekend. And you have a handout on forgiveness in your folders, so hopefully you can take a look at that. And what we're going to see is all the different sides of forgiveness, whether it is choosing to walk in the forgiveness that God has given us, or whether it is asking for forgiveness for something we've done to hurt someone, or whether it's accepting forgiveness. There's all kinds of sides to forgiveness, and we're going to see that. Now, in closing, deep down, we all know what holds us back. We know what ship we need to burn. So right now, this weekend, let's make the decision to make this a weekend that we'll always remember. I will always remember the Bride of Christ weekend 30 years ago. Let this one be, maybe be saying down the road, things finally changed for me that weekend of Burn the Ships conference. Because ladies, the victory is already ours. Thank you.